Thank you, Dave. Good to see you here this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in the book of Ephesians for some time now and been in chapter 6 for a while, particularly as we're looking at the armor of God. So we think about being in a warfare. We see that pictured in the nation of Israel. We've followed them for quite a while now as they left Egypt back in the beginning of the book of Exodus and then journeyed into the wilderness and on to the edge of the promised land. And as they entered the promised land, as we've seen, entering into the book of Joshua after coming through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, we find that they were at war. There were many blessings that God had given to them, a land flowing with milk and honey, representing physical, material blessings. And we see the parallel here in the book of Ephesians as we're told that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But we also find that just as Israel, to appropriate those blessings, it meant they would be doing battle with enemies. So we found that spiritually speaking, as we seek to appropriate and enjoy the blessings that God has made available to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, we find that there are also those who oppose us. And as a result of that, we also are at war. And I say we, speaking of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And if that is you, you can be sure that what we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, you can be sure that you're a part of that we. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we trust that by the time this meeting ends this morning, you will have received Him as your Savior. If you already are a believer in the Lord Jesus, I trust that you'll be encouraged as you continue to seek to stand in the promised land and having done all, to stand. And to stand in the promised land means you must have the armor on. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning again in verse 10. Reading verses that I hope by now are very familiar to you. If they weren't already, maybe you almost have them memorized. That would be great. What a blessing there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the piece of armor we've been looking at for several weeks, and we'll seek to conclude our thoughts on it this morning. So we've said the sword spoken of here is a small sword, a short sword. We had an illustration of it here last week in 3D. An offensive weapon designed for making a cutting stroke or a thrusting stroke with the purpose of defeating the enemy who is seeking to attack us, to stop us from appropriating these blessings that are rightfully ours. Again, this is a spiritual sword. It's the Word of God, the Rhema of God. We've distinguished that from the Logos of God, the Word of God in its totality. Here the Greek word Rhema is used, speaking of an individual scripture appropriate for the need. The sword is important. The sword was important for the nation of Israel. As they began their journey, we read back in the book of Exodus, chapter 17 and verse 13, that Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. As they made their way through the wilderness, the enemies were already there seeking to defeat the people of God who were on their way to enjoy the blessings that God had provided for them. And it took the edge of the sword to defeat them. It was serious. That's the book of Exodus. What about Leviticus? We read there in Leviticus 26 and verse 7, instruction and promise from God to the nation of Israel. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. There's going to be victory. God is going to provide the victory that the people of God need. And he makes it available, and he says, take your sword and go into the spiritual battle. It was a physical battle for them, in picture for us, who are spiritual warriors. They're going to fall before you by the sword. The book of Numbers, chapter 21, in verse 24, we read that Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon. Another victory for the people of God with the edge of the sword. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 13, prophetically speaking, Moses says, and when the Lord thy God has delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. There are enemies who are seeking to stop us from enjoying the spiritual blessings that God has made available to us. And we need to take the sword of the Spirit, to receive the Word as we've seen, to believe the Word, to obey the Word, to understand the Word of God, to hide the Word in our heart, and to remember the Word. I'm going to ask you to again go, if you will. Well, hold your place here, but I want you to go back quickly to Matthew chapter 4. We looked at this last week, but I just want to, for sake of context and what we're looking at this morning, I want to read through these verses again. Actually, last week, I don't think that we read all of them, just read a portion of them. But we're going to look at this and then go back to Ephesians. But Matthew chapter 4, we find the account, Matthew's account of the Lord Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He is fighting a spiritual battle here. And we find that he defeats Satan with the edge of the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, the Rhema of God. Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Don't forget those three little words. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Satan uses the word of God against us sometimes. He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. These were real temptations. The Lord Jesus was hungry. Satan came at him. He attacked him in that area of hunger. He came and attacked him concerning his identity. If you're really the Son of God, prove it. He tempted him. A real temptation. And then he came to him concerning his rightful position as ruling and reigning over all things. The devil, in essence, said, I'm in charge now. You want to take a shortcut? I have one for you. A real temptation to the Lord Jesus. And what did he do every time? He counterattacked with Scripture. It is written. Not just a random passage. He didn't just open up the Bible of his mind and put his finger somewhere and quote a verse. No, rather he reached in to the sheath and pulled out a sword that was appropriate for the need. Of course, the Lord Jesus is the living Word. He's the one who speaks the Word. He's the one who knows the Word, obviously, because He inspired it all. But He also desires that we would take the Word of God and we would reach into the sheath and we would pull out a sword appropriate for the need. And the temptations are real, aren't they? The attacks are real. The needs are real. And I think about the attacks that you face. Well, last Sunday morning, many of you filled out a card. You took one of those index cards and you wrote on there a word, or some of you wrote a longer explanation of the attack that you experience. And I've got to tell you the truth, my heart was touched. I was emotional as I read through those cards, and I want to hold on to those. They meant a lot to me because I could see from so many of what you wrote, many of you were opening up something very deep and very real. And as I look around and I think of not knowing who wrote what, but knowing that those battles are going on. Real temptations, real battles, real struggles. Satan is busy. He's very busy. You know, I know that I may not completely have understood some of the specific attacks, but my heart was touched by the fact that we are in spiritual battle. And you know, going back to Ephesians chapter 6, I was struck as I read through those cards and reread them and read them again and thought about the things that were written. I was struck at how they demonstrate the relevance of Ephesians chapter 6. And there in verse 10, finally, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, and I'll be honest with you, reading those cards made my heart go out to you even more as my brothers and sisters, because you're battling as I am. We're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, as I read through those cards and I look at what you wrote and I think about that, I'm reminded of how dependent we are on God. Kim shared with me a devotion from a devotional book she was going through recently. We had discussed it several times. And in there was a quote talking about how we are designed for deep dependence on God. He has made us like that. It's His intent that we depend on Him, that we recognize that we cannot have the victory apart from Him. And that's why He says, be strong in the Lord. He says, in essence, to you, be strong in me and in my power on your behalf. That's the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. I think about the wiles of the devil as we read about at the end of verse 11. And I read through those cards and I see the attacks of Satan upon his people. And I'm reminded how much more dangerous and destructive are these spiritual attacks than any flesh and blood attack. I think about the evil day. We're to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And I'm reminded, as we've said earlier, that every day is an evil day. And as I look through those cards and I look at your heart expressed in those cards, I see that these are not once a week, once a month, once a lifetime battles. These are daily battles with which we're struggling together. We're battling. We're battling as an army of God. And we're together in that. That you might be able to stand. The sword is essential to standing. And I would like to encourage you, as you go through the battle and we look at some of these swords today together, I want to encourage you as you look at the immensity of the battles in which you are facing personally in your life, that you be encouraged by the victories. Another quote from that devotional book, a challenge to rejoice in these tiny triumphs, and they will increasingly light up your days. We can get so bogged down with the battle that we fail to see those times when God is giving us the victory, when we are depending upon Him, when we are taking the sword. I hope that all of you, as you came in, received one of these little four-page charts. If you didn't, you can get one on the way out. This is a compilation of those cards. I was careful to do them in a way that no one would know, that they would remain anonymous as they were on the cards, but that from these we would be able to look and we would be able to be encouraged. I think about the way that Satan attacks. As we saw him attacking the Lord Jesus, real and relevant battles. I see him attacking the believers in real and relevant areas of our lives. Our time at work, worry and fear, the uncertainty and the sense of a lack of control, Satan is attacking. In the area of health and finances, in the area of sexuality, with our own human makeup and our society's emphasis on that. In the area of our thought life, a powerful, inescapable area of battle. In the area of our tongue, which James says in his epistle, very, very difficult to control. Our tendency towards self-centeredness. The battles of the family, the basic unit of society. In that area of the question of the integrity of God as we look at difficult questions of suffering. The battle that many face with the guilt over past sins and failures. The area of relationships, particularly with those who may anger us or aggravate us or those whom we envy. The area of Bible reading, time, the assurance of salvation, our prayer lives, meaning in life, faith and doubt, our emotions, the desire to be a witness, but battling with that, the local church, making choices. All of these are areas and more that were mentioned in these cards. And these are real areas of battle. Just a few general comments on this chart. Some things that I think we learn from that. First of all, everyone is under attack. You are not alone. We're fighting individual battles, but you know, there are other people who are fighting a similar, if not the same, battle. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Others are experiencing that too. You know what? There were battles that I'm facing that my heart was warmed as I saw that others faced them. Not that I want you going through them. But it reminded me, I'm not the only one that faces that struggle. I'm not the only one that's facing that battle. Be encouraged. And also be encouraging. Be encouraging to others who are going through their battles. Again, it may be a different battle, but you can understand. I also noticed that there's a wide variety of attacks, as you can see on this chart. But there are also many that are related. They're related. And because of that, we can understand our own battles, even by looking at the battles of others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, we're reminded that we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And I hope that this chart and what you shared will help expose some of what Satan is trying to do and the way that he is trying to get at people. And another general lesson that I hope that you can see from the way that this chart is constructed is that God's Word has the edge for victory against every attack. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you look through this chart, you can see that down the right hand or down the left hand side, you'll find a variety of spiritual attacks. I tried to group these together. Unfortunately, as I scroll down to put the statement at the top, some of them got grouped together that really weren't intended to, but hopefully that won't be a distraction. But I tried to group them together in some general areas, and one reason I did that, not only to help me in categorizing, but also to help you. And as you look at this chart, and particularly as you find the area of specific attack that is most relevant to you, I hope that maybe there'll be some others in that same group. And through that, you'll be able to come out to some other verses, some other swords that can help you, that can encourage you. And as you go through this chart, it may be that God will use a verse that has relevance particularly to a specific attack here according to the chart, but you find that that verse is something God will use in your life as you pull out that sword. Now, obviously, these verses in themselves are not full explanations. There, some of you had some deep concerns that you expressed in a lengthy way, as much as you can put on a 3x5 card in the amount of time we had. And obviously, me writing a couple verses down is not going to give you every answer to a question or a struggle. But I hope it will be a beginning, and I hope it will be a sword, and I would be more than happy, and I'm sure others here would too, if you'd like to share that and talk about it more. I'd be glad to do that. The Word of God is listed down the right-hand side. Specific swords that you can pull out of the sheath and use as a counterattack against the devil, against the demons when they attack you. Now, again, I hope that this will motivate you to find other verses. Maybe you have your own already. Now, I want to say a couple of things about using these verses. One, I want to encourage you not to try to use them as magic words. If I just say these words, then I'm going to have victory. That's not the point. It's not magic words that you just repeat like some kind of hocus pocus. Not at all. This is what God is saying. This is a sword that you pull out. It is written. And I would encourage you, as you face a battle, that maybe you even begin your counterattack with those three words, "It is written." As you sense the attack coming and you pull the sword out, you have the verse, you have the passage, you have the phrase in a scripture verse that you're going to use to counterattack that attack against you, start out with, "It is written." Don't be anxious about anything. Remind yourself that this is the Word of God. This isn't something that you're saying. The victory is not in what you say, but rather in what God says. Now, obviously, when you have your battle, you may be driving down the road at 65 miles per hour. You may be operating a piece of dangerous equipment. You may be changing a baby's diaper. You may be in a situation where you can't reach for your Bible and open it up and find the verse. So I'm going to encourage you again, hide it in your heart. Memorize it. There are at least two verses for every attack that we've listed here on the chart. Take at least one of those and commit to memorizing it this week. And using that when you see it coming against you. Keep it on a 3x5 card. Write it on a piece of paper. Write it on your hand. Do something where it's nearby until you have it memorized. And then trust the Holy Spirit to use His sword. Remember, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of Mark. Mark has the privilege of using the sword, but it's the sword of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And we use that sword against Satan, but when we use it against Satan, we're being blessed. We're being encouraged. We're being reminded of the Word of God. Satan is a powerful foe, but he's no match for the Word of God. I was hoping to download a little clip I wanted to show you, but I wasn't able to download it. But I'm going to try to describe it for you. And it reminds us that some swords are stronger than others. I don't necessarily recommend this movie. I just saw the little clip from it. But it's a movie about a man named Crocodile Dundee. And he's in Australia, and he's a crocodile hunter. He's an adventurer, and he comes over to the United States, and he's walking through the streets of New York City with a lady. And as he walks through, a young man steps out, and he says, do you have a light? And Crocodile Dundee said, sure. And as he reaches for his pocket, the man opens up a switchblade and said, and your wallet. Well, Crocodile Dundee stands there and kind of looks at him. And the woman says, Mick, give him the wallet. And he said, why? He said, because he's got a knife. And he smiled, reached into his belt and pulled out. And he said, you call that a knife? And he pulls out a Bowie knife about this long. Now that's a knife. The guy turns around and takes off running. And you know what? Satan comes at us, and he pops out his switchblade, and you know, it causes fear in our hearts because we know he's a powerful foe. You call that a knife? We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the rhema of God. We have the Word of God appropriate for our every need. You know what? It's not us that's really battling Satan. It's the Lord. We read in the book of Jude, that little one chapter book. We read there that Michael the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against the devil a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael the archangel, you think you're strong spiritually? Michael the archangel wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil. He recognized his power, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. The same it is with us. It is written, our battle with Satan is a battle in which we use the sword of the Holy Spirit of God, not our own words. The Word of God, the voice of God. I won't ask you to turn there for sake of time, but listen to Psalm 29 as we think about the voice of the Lord. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and uncovers the forest. And in His temple does everyone speak of His glory. The voice of the Lord. And we have the very voice of the Lord, as it were, in the Word of God. And we have those swords appropriate for just what we need. And we need to take these verses. And we need to not only memorize them and not only use them as swords, but we need to apply them in our lives. We need to act on them. Not just say the words, but act, reckon it to be true, step out in faith in the reality of what it says. Let's take a couple of illustrations. There were a number who confessed that, you know, I have a spiritual battle in the area of worry and fear. Worry and fear about the present. Worry and fear about the future. Worry and fear about what is happening. Worry and fear about what might happen. And I have some verses down there for that, but I'd like for you just to look over in the book of Habakkuk, back in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. I got to sing the song myself to get to it. Habakkuk chapter 3. And when we battle worry and fear, you know, I cannot stand up here and tell you what you're worried about is not going to happen. What you fear is not going to happen. What you're worrying about that you're going through right now, I can't tell you, don't worry about that, it's not real. It may very well be real, and it may very well happen. So how can I not worry about it? How can I not be anxious? How can I not be fearful? Well, look at what Habakkuk said. As he thinks about what might happen and what did happen. Habakkuk chapter 3, look down at verse 17. Habakkuk 3:17. Remember, this is an agricultural society in which he lives. So remember that as we read through this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. There's plenty of reason to worry, plenty of reason to fear. But what does he say? Here's a sword. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Even if it happens, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And that is a powerful sword against the devil when he comes and tries to remind you of what you need to worry about, what you need to fear. Many of you admitted that Satan comes to you in the area of sexual temptations. It may be mental or it may be physical. And you're motivated to abstain from that, but it's a powerful, powerful attack. There are a number of swords, but I want you to go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we're just picking a few here as illustrations, and also gives me an opportunity to make a few more comments. Proverbs chapter 6, as we read here about the strange woman, the adulterous woman. This could speak of anyone, real or imagined, in person or a picture or in pornography or anything that could be seeking to draw you, male or female, the temptation to sexual immorality. When you sense that coming, there are a number of swords, and I've listed some, but look at this one down in verse 26. A good one to memorize and pull out of the sheath at the appropriate time. Proverbs 6:26. Or to start with 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Look at verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The danger that's there, the intent. Pull out the sword, use it. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Another that was mentioned in a variety of ways was the area of anger. The area of conflict with those who are causing anger to rise up within you. Again, there are a number of ways that was communicated and are listed. Anger, feelings of hate or dislike towards people, evil dreams against people, unloving response to people, getting angry and mad at work, trouble forgiving, fighting, all of these listed there. Look over at Romans chapter 12 and in verse 18. Again, there are many swords we could pull out, but one here you can pull out. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. What does that tell you? You can't control that other person. You can't overrule what they do. You can't go in and change their behavior or their attitudes or what they're doing toward you. But the Lord challenges you and me as much as is possible with us. And again, what is possible with us is what is possible through the power of God who lives within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Live peaceably with all men, pulling out the sword. Pulling out the sword. Let's look over at Luke chapter 12. I've got several here I'd like to get to, but some of them is just, if I even get started, it's going to take too long. So, and what I would like to do too, I'm going to hold on to these, and I would like to periodically do a sermon basically on one of these spiritual attacks and address that. So I'm going to try to do that at different points as we go along. I tell you what, if you don't mind turning one more time, I'm actually going to skip this one for sake of time. And I want to go to John chapter 8. I apologize, but I just see here one that I would really like to mention. It was addressed by a number of people, again, in different ways. And it's the area of guilt. It's the area of the past. It's the area of struggling with the burden of sins that were committed in the past and the regrets and the consequences that have come there. And again, I've listed a number of different swords that you can pull out. But I just want to mention one here, again, encouraging us in this area. John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus, He's had the woman caught in adultery. And she's brought before Him and been accused and condemned by those who caught her. And we read down in verse 8, the Lord Jesus is stooping down, writing on the ground. He's already said, "He that's without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." Verse 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, has no man, woman, where are thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" And here's a wonderful sword. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "It is written, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And when Satan comes to remind us of the sins of the past, we can pull out that sword. "It is written, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Attack after attack after attack. I would encourage you to go through all of these attacks. Whether they apply to you or not, they apply to somebody in this fellowship. There's a brother or sister in Christ in this meeting who's struggling, and you can use this as a prayer list. Lord, I pray for that believer today who's having conflict over work issues. Lord, I pray for that brother or sister who's struggling with sinful or immoral faults. Lord, that one who is battling materialism, that one who is battling family problems with their grown children. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with why they are going through hardships and difficulties, even though they're a child of God. Lord, I pray for those who feel that they're not spending enough time in the Word. Lord, I pray for those ones who are wondering, have I truly accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Lord, I want to pray for those who feel that you shouldn't even listen to their prayers. I want to encourage you to pray one for another, to sympathize one with another, to do battle with these swords. Let's use them. Let's not just have them on a chart. Let's not just have them in our Bibles, but let's have them in our hearts and have them in our minds, and let's pull them out this week, and let's rejoice in those tiny victories and be encouraged as we go forward. I didn't get to most of them. If I didn't get to yours, I apologize for that. But you've got the verses, and I would encourage you, I would challenge you to get into the Scriptures, to take these words of God and use them for victory. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, Father, we pray for those who feel like they don't understand Your Word. Father, we pray for those here who have a fear of being alone, and Father, ones who don't feel like they're loved. Father, I pray for those who don't feel like they're useful in Your work. Father, those who feel hopeless. Lord, I pray for those who are unable to make decisions and those who are having a difficult time being consistent in their faithfulness to You. Father, those who are being convicted about an area but are being tempted to just go on and do it anyway. Father, those who are battling temptations that come through the media. Lord, those who recognize their need of help in sharing the gospel. And Lord, those who are hurt in their own hearts because they see believers sinning against other believers. Lord, I pray for those who are trying to move forward, but every time they seem to take a step in the right direction, they feel they get knocked back down. Lord, I pray for those who are wondering about Your will in their lives. And Father, ones who are hurting over loss. Father, ones who are hurting over not having their heart's desires fulfilled. Lord, I lift up these different ones. And Father, everyone who shared something on a card last week, and Father, those who didn't, I pray for each one today, Lord, that we might have the victory. I thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who always leads us in triumph. Father, I pray that we will experience that victory this week, that we will reach into the sheath, that we will pull out the sword. Father, Your word that is appropriate for the situation. Lord, I know that Satan hates our conversation this morning. Father, he hates Your word. He hates to think of us coming against him with a powerful, sharp, two-edged sword that pierces. Father, he'll try to take it away. He'll try to remove this from our minds and our hearts. May we be committed to the Scripture. May we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Father, may we stand in the evil day, and having done all, may we stand for Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. May the Lord encourage you as you battle this week. Have that victory in Christ.